Chapter 25. Friend and pupil Beatrix, grown to be taller than her mother, a slim and lovely young girl, with cheeks mantling with health and roses. With eyes like stars shining out of azure, with waving bronze hair clustered about the fairest young forehead ever seen. And a mien and shape haughty and beautiful, such as that of the famous antique statue of the Huntress Diana, at one time haughty, rapid, imperious, with eyes and arrows that dart and kill. Harry watched and wondered at this young creature, and likened her in his mind to Artemis with the ringing bow, and shafts flashing death upon the children of Niobe. At another time she was coy, and melting as Luna shining tenderly upon Endymion. This fair creature, this lustrous Phoebe, was only young as yet, nor had nearly reached her full splendor. But crescent and brilliant, our young gentleman of the university, his head full of poetical fancies, his heart perhaps throbbing with desires undefined, admired this rising young divinity, and gazed at her though only as at some bright particular star, far above his earth, with endless delight and wonder. As he had been a coquette from the earliest times almost, trying her freaks and jealousies, her wayward frolics and winning caresses, upon all that came within her reach, she set her women quarreling in the nursery, and practiced her eyes on the groom as she rode behind him on the pillion. She was the darling and torment of father and mother. She intrigued with each secretly, and bestowed her fondness and withdrew it, plied them with tears, smiles, kisses, cajolements. When the mother was angry, as happened often, flew to the father, and sheltering behind him, pursued her victim. When both were displeased, transferred her caresses to the domestics, or watched until she could win back her parents' good graces, either by surprising them into laughter and good humor, or appeasing them by submission and artful humility. She was Sivolita Negotio, like that fickle goddess Horace describes, and of whose delicious joy a great poet of our own has written so nobly, who, famous and heroic as he was not strong enough to resist the torture of women. It was but 3 years before that the child, then but 10 years old, had nearly managed to make a quarrel between Harry Esmond and his comrade, good-natured, phlegmatic Thomas Tusher, who never of his own seeking quarreled with anybody. By quoting to the latter some silly joke which Harry had made regarding him, it was the merest idlest jest, though it near drove two old friends to blows, and I think such a battle would have pleased her, and from that day Tom kept at a distance from her, and she respected him, and coaxed him sedulously whenever they met. But Harry was much more easily appeased, because he was fonder of the child. And when she made mischief, used cutting speeches, or caused her friends pain, she excused herself for her fault, not by admitting and deploring it, but by pleading not guilty, and asserting innocence so constantly, and with such seeming artlessness, that it was impossible to question her plea. In her childhood, they were but mischiefs then which she did, but her power became more fatal as she grew older, as a kitten first plays with a ball, and then pounces on a bird and kills it. 'Tis not to be imagined that Harry Esmond had all this experience at this early stage of his life, whereof he is now writing the history. Many things here noted were but known to him in later days. Almost everything Beatrix did, or undid, seemed good, or at least pardonable, to him then, and years afterwards. It happened, then, that Harry Esmond came home to Castlewood for his last vacation, with good hopes of a fellowship at his college, and a contented resolve to advance his fortune that way. 'Twas in the first year of the present century. Mr. Esmond, as far as he knew the period of his birth, being then 22 years old, he found his quondam pupil shot up into this beauty of which we have spoken, and promising yet more. Her brother, my lord's son, a handsome, high-spirited, brave lad, generous and frank, and kind to everybody, save perhaps his sister, with whom Frank was at war, and not from his but her fault, adoring his mother, whose joy he was, and taking her side in the unhappy matrimonial differences which were now permanent, while of course Mistress Beatrix ranged with her father. When heads of families fall out, it must naturally be that their dependents wear the one or the other party's color. And even in the parliaments in the servants' hall or the stables, Harry, who had an early observant turn, could see which were my lord's adherents, and which my lady's, and conjecture pretty shrewdly how their unlucky quarrel was debated. Our lackeys sit in judgment on us. My lord's intrigues may be ever so stealthily conducted, but his valet knows them, and my lady's woman carries her mistress's private history to the servants' scandal market, and exchanges it against the secrets of other Abigails. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.